When Paul says that the pursuit of wisdom was the stumbling block put in our way of righteousness, several questions emerge to our modern, well-class-trained ear, particularly after hearing our Karl Popper out on the question of prophecy. I hope you'll take a look at the excerpts from our scholars included as an appendix to this and next week's shows. Quoting Karl Popper, "My insistence that success should not be worshipped, that it cannot be our judge, and that we should not be dazzled by it, and in particular my attempts to show that in this attitude I concur with what I believe to be the true teaching of Christianity, should not be misunderstood. They are not intended to support the attitude of otherworldliness, which I have criticized in the last chapter. Whether Christianity is otherworldly, I do not know. But it certainly teaches that the only way to prove one's faith is by rendering practical and worldly help to those who need it. And it is certainly possible to combine an attitude of the utmost reserve and even of contempt toward worldly success in the sense of power, glory, and wealth with the attempt to do one's best in this world and to further the ends one has decided to adopt with the clear purpose of making them succeed, not for the sake of success or of one's justification by history, but for their own sake." This is from Karl Popper's Open Society and His Enemies, Volume 2, The High Tide of Prophecy, Hegel, Marx, and the Aftermath. In academia, they predominantly teach that either the existence of an infinite, God, Great Spirit, Allah, love, the all of it, can't be known or isn't. We aren't told there's an agenda to do with this that's been going on for millennia, called the background, called all there is, called there is no alternative, called power, called class, which in some nation states today goes by the name democracy. I got news for you. Freedom ain't free. They lock you in a cell if you try to be. But the ones who say no make history. They call it an act of God. Funny how nobody's holy books are the same. Everybody's God got a different name. The day that's over is the end of the game. And they call it an act of God. Hey, it'll be all over when the people are free. Free to be who and what they want to be. Wherever we go, it's up to you and me. Call it an act of God. We so tired, said we through with fear. There never was no hell or boogeyman here. If he was seen, look, he was in your mirror. Call it an act of God. Call it what you want, except an act of God. And that's from 2010, Prince singing Act of God. Popper provides missing links for understanding the continuity of totalitarian thinking across class ideologies and how it was legitimized by Plato. But for this show, he's our missing link for understanding how power took over Christianity. He explains it honestly, clearly, authentically. Please visit the appendix for this show. And though, as we've been reading, we found kinship in our appreciation of the moral courage of the early Christians in Popper, who likewise locates the problem of continued lies dominating our lives in the state, he discusses the Gospels as a whole and gives insufficient attention and certainly credit, I think, to Paul. I read Paul and think, as with Proudhon, why is he not discussed? Has no one taken his words to heart? Has no one honored them with belief? And we have to say, no, not generally. Not even Popper, it seems, fully credits him. And not crediting Paul means Popper doesn't address or is not interested in addressing authentic prophecy, and therefore cannot explain its significance, the significance of true prophecy, that it proves the existence of the infinite.